Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
State Missouri, Mark Mitchell, there's another team with an injury that's like, okay, what's the real deal here? I mean, it seemed like he was almost able to come back last game. So that guy makes such a difference for them. And then you have the shooting they have, the depth they have. I absolutely think that they could make the second weekend and do stuff in the second weekend potentially. So I would highlight them in particular. I still really like that team.
Joe, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
That is Joe Rexrode of The Athletic and, of course, of 105. ESPN 102.5, The Game in Nashville. Also, I remind you, it's a big Saturday for our friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and in particular at the South Haven location, because this Saturday, March the 22nd, they are hosting a six-hour 60% off sale. The real deal. It's a real 60% off sale. It's no marking up to mark down. It's 6 hours. It starts at 10 a.m., and you'll get 60% off anything in the showcase. That means diamond anniversary bands, diamond rings, diamond pendants. They're all 60% off. You can save 60% on designer jewelry, 60% off engagement rings, 60% off bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones. Even name brand watches are 60% off. There's over 1,000 items to choose from, so make sure you go visit the South Haven location. They also have special financing options available. You can enjoy 12 months interest-free financing at Robert Irwin Jewelers or over 60 months to pay at a low APR. But again, it's in-store only, and it's the Robert Irwin Jewelers location in the South Lake Center in South Haven. It starts at 10 a.m. and it lasts through through Saturday at 4 p.m., 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For complete details, visit the website, rijewelers.com, or you can follow them on socials at rijewelers. When we come back, let's get into the list. We'll talk some more college football, or I should say more college basketball as well during hour two. A little bit of news from the NFL. We'll talk all that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. That's right, March is here, and that means that Zen Sports has a new VIP Players Club sweepstakes. This time, it's the Big Bucket Club sweepstakes. One grand prize winner earns a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $5,000 cash. If you don't win the big prize, don't worry. 20 small prize winners earn a $100 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $50 cash. You can earn entries on every bet placed in March, every dollar bet in March, and you can even earn 10 times the entries on parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket sweepstakes. College baseball has also been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Plus, they're also in multi-sport parlay profit boost, and you can get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. See full terms over on the Zen Sports app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee to wager. First four coming up later tonight. Tim and I will talk about what we're looking at on the card for those games. Before we do that, let's get into the list. P.J. Haggerty. P.J. Haggerty has been named second-team AP All-American today. An outstanding honor for Haggerty, who's been just absolutely tremendous all year. Also, the first team includes Jani Broome, Cooper Flagg, Mark Sears, Braden Smith of Purdue, and Walter Clayton Jr. The second team with P.J. is J.T. Toppin. John Tony, right? That's the Missouri.
Tanjay.
Sorry, I don't know why. Someone else was named Tony. Also, Cam Jones on the second team. He is a pride of Memphis as well as R.J. Lewis Jr. of St. Mary's. The third team is Hunter Dickinson, Ryan Kalkbrenner, Zakai Ziegler, Eric Dixon, and Houston's L.J. Crier. The honorable mentions included Chaz Lanier from Tennessee, Trey Kaufman Wren of Purdue, as well as Donovan Dent from New Mexico, who Tim has mentioned, Drake's Bennett Sturts, and Chucky Hepburn of Louisville via way of Wisconsin. How many of these guys actually played? Cam played at Marquette his whole career.
Cam's done his whole career there, yep.
Is Tanji a transfer?
Yeah,
Montana, right?
No, he started Colorado State. And I think he was injured last year. But, yeah, he's been at two other schools.
So, Broome's obviously been a transfer. Flags, yep. A freshman. Sears.
Mark Sears, I think
he's an Alabama guy.
Alabama. Yeah.
I think his whole career's at Alabama. So, there's a true rarity. Braden Smith is a Purdue kid. Walter Clayton.
Yeah, where did Clayton? Did Clayton start? I'm just assuming he's a transfer.
Iona.
Okay.
He was at Iona.
Yep. Yeah, he was at Iona for 2 years.
And so I think what? Trey, I think Kaufman Wren, right? Was he always been at Purdue?
Yes, I believe so. Hold on, I'm double checking.
Yeah, he has. He's only the Purdue guys are both Purdue only. Also, of course, the other Tiger basketball news. So, of course, shout out to PJ Haggerty. Today, Penny Hardaway spoke before the team heads out to Seattle. And, of course, the question that is at the top of everyone's mind is the status of Tyrese Hunter. Quote, I'm praying for good ankles and good feet, good everything right now, good knees. That's just the honest truth. P.J. Haggerty said of the injury, it's kind of heartbreaking. Things like that, you can't really control some things. But I would say he's in good spirits. He's still being a leader, being happy around us. That means a lot to us. We're just trying to be there for him. Hardaway would also say, well, we all know you got to have some luck. The teams that do it, they don't get injuries. They get everything to go their way. And now we need everything to go our way with health and the basketball side. We'll take care of it. Again, there's some reading tea leaves, some unconfirmed information. I just don't think Tyrese Hunter's playing. You could talk me into Dante Harris playing the backup point guard who's dealing with an ankle. It wouldn't shock me if we learn that Tyrese is out for the year.
Yeah, it doesn't seem it seems pretty ominous right now.
Non-contact injury, and as I said, there's one thing about being in a walking boot, but when you're in a walking boot with crutches, that's kind of a different thing. And he was needing the crutches to walk around. But he was in every huddle. I mean, he was doing all the things that you would want your leader to do. So thus concludes the college basketball portion of the list, or at least the injury front, Tiger front. Let's go with Cam Hayward. Yeah, Cam Hayward isn't joining Aaron Rodgers on any darkness retreats anytime soon, according to ESPN. The longtime Pittsburgh Steelers defensive captain said on the Not Just Football podcast that he's not going to great lengths to recruit the four-time MVP to sign with the Steelers. Quote, I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. It's that simple. That's the pitch. If you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. Pittsburgh Steelers. If you want to be a part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin off my back. Also, this matched the tone of DK Metcalf, who said he wasn't also going to recruit Rodgers, but also Cam Hayward about quarterbacks said, I just want to play football. I'm tired of talking about the quarterback situation. I'd rather have it done. I don't know what ends up happening. I'm ready to move on into free agency. There's too much going on. So this is kind of the real question. Do we really think that Minnesota is entertaining the Rodgers thing? How much stock are you putting into it?
Personally, not a lot. By the way, Josina Anderson about an hour ago said, worth noting, one league source told me earlier today that the Steelers feel like they're, quote, getting closer on their quarterback situation. In their mind, that optimism pertained to Aaron Rodgers. Let's see if that sentiment is mutually held towards the consummation of a deal at some point. That was what she put out there about an hour ago.
So I think if you're putting the tea leaves together, it seems to me, and I think this is probably appropriate, Rodgers would prefer to go to Minnesota, but I don't think Minnesota wants Rodgers.
Yeah, if you're Rodgers, they went 14-3 a year ago, you can pull the full Favre and stick it to your former team. Kevin O'Connell is, in many eyes, an elite offensive coach.
The only thing, though, that I wondered about KOC, KOC is from the fraternity. Do you really think Matt LaFleur has good things to say?
No. And here's the thing. Like, you let Sam Darnold walk. Granted, you weren't going to pay him $100 million like the Seattle Seahawks, so that made a lot of sense. Do you, to your point, Aaron Rodgers ain't the best groomer of young people out there. And you've got J.J. McCarthy, who you spent a first-round pick on, top 10 pick on, and you're going to bring in grumpy Aaron Rodgers to mold J.J.?
Well, I mean, the other question that I would have is,
Unless you, though, have a serious concern about J.J. McCarthy.
That would be the one concern, I think the primary concern, but I think the other question though that I would have, and I'm assuming that they have already hammered this out, the other thing about Rodgers is when Rodgers was with LaFleur, Rodgers basically still ran his offense. And what we saw with the Jets, he ran his offense. That is not an offense that Kevin O'Connell runs. Like, it is, you know, it's West Coast at its, like, kind of purest. And it's a lot of sight adjustments. It's a lot of things that require timing and a lot of reps together. If Rodgers is coming in to essentially do what we've seen a lot of quarterbacks do, which is kind of, all right, they need me to make 7 to 10 throws a game off play action, but I'm just kind of managing the game. Well, then I could see where he has some appeal. But the other thing that I keep thinking about is, like, are the Pittsburgh Steelers handing over their offense to him?
So right now, as I look at the landscape, Wilson's still out there. Cousins is staying in Atlanta.
For now.
And there's Rodgers.
And Jameis. The Giants brought Jameis in yesterday, and this shows you where I am with the whole quarterback thing, especially if the Titans are not going to trade number one and they're going to take Cam. Like, I want the Giants to just bring Jameis in, and let me at least have a fun 6-11. And then take Arch next year.
As a Giant fan, would you almost prefer it to go Ward Shador? Because then you've got the pick of Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter.
Yes, I would. But my fear is the Giants, if that scenario, they're just going to break the bank to try to get one of them. Because that was the other thing. I think this might have been more content. But in Kuiper's latest mock today, he had Jackson Dart up to 9.
Oh, stop.
And I'll say this. I think Jackson would have put up as good of numbers at Colorado. And I think at Miami, I think Jackson would have had the same numbers. Do I think that Jackson is the pure thrower that the other two are? No.
I'll say this, and like McShay has pointed this out for years. Mel does this. He puts a guy high, and it becomes a massive talking
point. Oh, I mean, if you turned on ESPN today, it's the first thing people are talking about. Right. So I suspect
this is
content.
The Mel playbook.
Yes.
And I mean, I respect the hell out of Mel Kiper. I do. By the way, if you're looking at the betting odds, Cam Ward has now moved out to a -800 favorite to be the first overall pick. that's pretty significant here over the past handful.
I mean, I was talking about it with Joe. I would still rather have, if it's the Giants, I'd rather have Cam than Shador just because of, I think Shador's thin-skinned. And I just don't think that that works in New York. But there is an element of quarterback where sometimes it's not your best plays. It's what are your worst plays? Are your worst plays manageable? And that is the key difference with Shador. Like, Shador doesn't really make the god-awful play. Like, yeah, there were some bad throws in that BYU game. They were down 30. Like, he was trying to throw their way back into the game. Like, I kind of set that aside. Shador is extremely well coached. He knows how to play the position. He's got a good
Super
feel.
Smart.
Very smart. Good feel for the position. I just wonder if he has, like, the God-given arm to do it.
I agree with that. I think there's a reason why. And I know it's kind of the trend now that if you're an elite prospect, you don't throw. But I heard a couple of kind of draftniks talking about it, and Shador probably didn't want to be out there slinging it next to Tyler Shuck, and Shuck is zipping it out there, and it's like, oh, maybe Shador isn't. You know, I think that's a fair criticism of Shador Sanders. I think he's as tough as hell. I mean, that dude got his butt kicked 2 years ago, man, and he kept bouncing back up. I think he's a very sharp kid. Obviously, I mean, he's got some God-given talent. His dad is Deion Sanders, but I agree. I don't think he's got a, you know, howitzer for an arm.
I don't think he's throwing 96 off the mound.
No.
I think he's probably throwing closer to like 83. Now, he's not as big, but the same all applied to Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of people in that draft that are like, I don't know about Burrow's arm. And again, it hasn't mattered. Like, I think the thing about arm strength is there's clearly a baseline in the NFL of you have to have this arm to play quarterback at a high level. But having Stafford's arm at its peak versus having Burrow's arm isn't necessarily like a decided advantage. You know what I mean?
Well, and look, at the end of the day, and I'm going to bring up him up again, but like Kirk Cousins, by no stretch of the imagination, has an elite arm, but he is pretty sharp between the ears and could pick you apart from a schematic standpoint.
Not many defenses that he hadn't seen.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out if Shador ends up going to Cleveland. And I think the initial report from Schefter was that Cleveland's definitely going quarterback at two, and now it's kind of waned a little bit where it's not as definite as it once was for them to be going quarterback, obviously, at two. And I guess they just roll with Pickett next year? I don't know.
I don't know if they would roll with Pickett. I still think...
I think they'll draft someone, but it's like, do they have to draft him at two?
Yeah, I think that's also another decision that a lot of people have, which is, okay, it seems like we're going to have more mid-round quarterbacks than we did last year. Remember, we had six in the first round, and then we didn't have anyone else till Rattler in the sixth. It seems like there are going to be some guys, like McCord seems to be catching some people's eyes. I just kind of keep going back to, though, I still think I'll believe Kirk Cousins is a Falcon on week one when I see it. I think what they're doing is they're going to pay that roster bonus, and yeah, that's real money, but that does allow them to hold on to him and make whoever wants to come get him have to give up something.
That's not a bad thought process because someone's going to lose out in this quarterback carousel. Like, are the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's say Rodgers, whatever it is, doesn't want to go to Pittsburgh, doesn't end up in Pittsburgh, whatever. They clearly don't want Russ back. And right now, Mason Rudolph's your quarterback, and that's it.
Right, and Mason Rudolph's not going to be their starter.
No, and you're a team that went to the playoffs, or they missed out on the playoffs. But
no,
they
got beat by Baltimore back-to-back weeks or whatever,
twice
in 3 weeks.
So you're a team with an elite defense that you just need kind of a serviceable quarterback. I think at the end of the day, Rodgers probably signs with the
Steelers. If winning is what matters, and at this point in his career, why would it not be? He got the money from the Jets. Right. So your other options, like that's the best one.
He's not going to the Giants. It just makes no sense.
God, I hope not. Just give me Jameis. Give me Jameis. I don't want Russ, and I don't want Rodgers. Just give me Jameis. The NCAA. All right, so of course this issue comes up every single year where we have Butler, where we have now Drake, the no live mascots at the tournament. And the Drake Bulldog is an absolute electric factory for those that watched Arch Madness in the fold out chair. Just then when they put the McCollum blue tie on him, it was just easy content, but he absolutely brought the noise. But yet again, we're in the situation where the NCAA is not allowing live mascots. Have they ever explained why?
I don't know. I don't think so. They not want poop on like the sidelines or something?
But I mean, isn't there somebody with a, like, he's got a handler. Like, even if he drops a deuce, like, they just pick it right up. And by the way,
I mean, Tracy Morgan's on the sidelines of NBA games.
Food poisoning.
Vomiting.
Food poisoning.
Yeah.
Food poisoning. Remember our boy Tim Lincecum when the All-Star game was in New York? It was slated to be the All-Star starter. Had to withdraw from flu-like symptoms. Like, I was like, I know those flu-like symptoms. I've seen just those
like,
before.
Just like Jordan, right? The magical poison pizza.
Also, yes, of course. Pizza and cigars. You hate when that happens.
The only one who ate that pizza, too.
Drake has now won three straight Arch Madnesses with the dog in attendance. They're 9-0 when Griff 2 is there. So there's obviously some Drake fans that would like to see him there, but I just think it's just dumb. I remember one year we had Butler. I think it was when Butler was here in the Sweet 16, and Blue was just on Twitter, just absolutely bringing heat, throwing nothing but fastballs. And he was the first one I remember they put in the motorized car, and he just cruised throughout the court. Well, what are we doing here? Like, this is part of college sports. Like, we're going to find a 9-year-old that's going to cry, and we're going to abuse the heck out of him, put him on television, but we can't have, God forbid, we have a bulldog in attendance?
Especially, I mean, if the day ever comes that Georgetown's good again, we need that.
We need the Hoya.
We need the Hoya on a skateboard.
Yes.
Did you happen to see, I don't know if you talked about it yesterday, did you see what the NCAA did regarding the NIT?
So, South Alabama, yes. It is the classic, how does this happen? Like, when the NCAA, there are some people that I do think try at the NCAA, but these are the types of decisions where I just go, you lose all credibility. How does this happen? You can't do the whole, well, we invited Riverside, and Riverside was committed to the CBI, and so then we invited South Alabama. Okay, that's fine.
Then it's over.
It's done.
At that point, it's
done. South Alabama's in.
Once you invite them,
it's over.
And then you put out this statement that made it even worse. And it was completely AI generated. And it was just an absolute debacle. And I get it. It's the NIT. But, you know, I feel for South Alabama.
They wanted to keep playing.
Yeah. And their coach, Richie Riley, said the same thing. Their statement was, after the NIT bracket was released Sunday evening, it was brought to the NIT's attention that one of the teams scheduled to participate in the tournament had also committed to a non-NCAA-affiliated postseason event. In an effort to secure another participating team, the NIT prematurely extended an invitation to South Alabama prior to learning that the original team chose to accept its invitation to the NIT. No. At that point, it's over. UC Riverside, adios. You're going to the CBI or whatever.
It was the CBI, yeah.
Regrettably, the NIT rescinded its invitation to South Alabama. Like, dude, you can't do it.
There was an easy fix. You telling me the CBI was still going to tell Riverside no?
Yeah. Sorry.
You're in that one.
Like, once you make that call to say, hey, whatever institution you want in, it's over. Once they said, yeah, we're in. Just kidding. We can't do that. And that's just I mean, and Richie Riley, the head coach of USA, is just is retweeting everybody right now. I almost want to retweet like outrageous just to get a tweet from him. He goes, a meaningless apology to the most meaningful group of players I've ever coached. What they did to us last night, this was yesterday, is inexcusable. These guys in our locker room don't deserve this, and sad your idea of making it right is a copy and paste apology.
All right. What a I mean, it's like, how do they not have someone in there that goes, first off, have some, like, get on the phone, ask Riverside, are you in? Yes, we're in. Great. You're in the field. Like, how are you doing this without ever having anyone communicate?
Right. You can't be like, you can't be, because I know it's a weird time and whatever. The tournament starts tonight. That's all that really matters. But I do actually, I feel badly for these kids. It sort of starts tonight.
I like the, I can hold two things. I can enjoy the first four, and I can also argue that it's not the tournament.
Oh, yeah. It really starts on Thursday.
Yeah.
But it's been a weird year, right, for these side tournaments because the Crown exists here in Vegas, which is like a Fox concoction, and they've got
You can make the argument that thing straight up killed the NIT. I mean, I think the NIT was dead before, but like that was like hammer nail coffin.
It is en route to killing it. However, I'll say this: if you're just a basketball nerd, the NIT is far better this year because there's actually good mid majors.
Well, and they want to be there,
right? And the Crown is like, I mean, everyone's Georgetown.
Well, everyone's contractually obligated to be there. It's Fox
Nebraska. Like, it's not great, but regardless, I think I'm gonna go to a game.
Quickly, I want to discuss this with you.
Yeah.
Dan Le Batard. So Dan, on his show today, said, I will keep saying to you guys that the future of sports doesn't require fans to be in attendance. And it doesn't require fans to be watching on television. It's all just programming. And the television streamers need the programming. Sports is one of the few places where people tune in at the appointed time. Like, there's so few right now. What are they? So I would say Dan's not wrong in a vacuum. I think the problem, though, is what we've been seeing is the streamers, when they were first all going to market and they were all trying to essentially grab hold of the market, they spent a bunch of money on a bunch of content creators. Well, most of those deals ended up just being massive, massive losses. And so now the streamers are getting more judicious on where they give out money, and I'm just not convinced that it's entirely a television product. It can be a television product for a contract, but inevitably, like, fan interest is what makes it a television product.
Yeah.
Here would be my argument. So, if you think about it, in the length of these contracts, I think that's for sure. But I think what we all acknowledged, yes, we had other things going on that we were probably miserable about, but it is so obvious when you watch sports on TV, there's no crowds, there's no fans, like there's no attendance, like it's nothing. Like it's not as good. And like part of what sports is like the reaction of the crowd, the scenes and whatnot. And I know Dan would say, well, his point is like that not all fans go away, but his point is that people are making decisions as if fans don't exist. And I think that's kind of true, but I also think that that is dangerous.
It's a complicated kind of premise that he's showing out there, because I don't agree, because as time went on during COVID, those games were not as entertaining, right?
Yes.
Like, we were so desperate to watch anything that we would watch Korean baseball, and then we would watch cornhole, but
simulator NASCAR.
But then as the NBA continued to finish out the bubble, we were like, all right, we're kind of done with this, right? Like,
well, I mean, and then we had the, like, in college football, you had like some schools that were like, we don't really care.
And then once fans were back, you're like, oh yeah, there we go. Now I think there is a point to be made that with technology being as good as it is, and ticket prices, especially like companies gouging you with all of the fees, et cetera, is it really advantageous to go to games anymore when you can just watch it on your enormous television and it's so much more financially reasonable?
No, I think that's a fair point. I guess, though, my point is that we would do exactly what you just mentioned there, where it's one thing for us to sit there and go, all right, I have to choose between spending $500 to go to the game tonight and watching on my big screen, spending no money. But when more and more people make that decision and the games have just flat atmospheres, I think people will tune out.
I agree. And I don't know. It's funny because I feel like people are of the mindset of, I'm just going to watch on my televisions. However, we're getting a lot of these games that the get-in price is still exponentially high, you know? And I don't know, man. I flew down to Miami to go to Notre Dame Penn State, and that thing was as live as a football game as I've been to in a long, long time. Now, I would say a game that I went to wrap up the regular season, I was happy I went to Notre Dame USC, but you're there and you miss a lot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the tricky part, is like, if you're in our line of work, you almost, like, going to a college football semifinal is fine because there's nothing else going on, right? That's the only game going on at that point in time. But, like, going to a Ole Miss game that kicks off at 2:30 Central, you're missing basically everything.
The whole day, pretty much.
So, yeah, there is. But, like, I don't know. Is Dan's overall point that these television networks just don't care about the consumer? I'm trying to understand his overall point.
I think his overall point is that the future of the business of sports no longer requires fans. I think where I would say I can kind of get behind you if it's in-person fans, I still think it's dangerous long-term. Like, I think it's a short-term decision that I would agree with. I'm not saying I think it's a short-term premise that I would agree with. I think, though, it would have lasting implications.
For what it's worth as well, thinking on it, I think it also comes down to which specific sport, not just sports in general, because a lot more of them are, like, their revenue is a lot more based on,
I think it's,
you know, fans and in-person attendance.
But my point is, it would also require the business model to survive. Are streamers, like, we're already seeing streamers can't figure out how to make money. So, like, that the entire premise to me is you were essentially what you're saying is they make so much money off the TV deal and whatever that is going to be that it doesn't matter. I would argue, okay, that's true today, but what about the next time? Because you need people subscribing and people are not subscribing. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got the first four tonight. Tim and I will tell you what we're looking at on the card. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom?
Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
All right, Tim, we got the first four starting tonight over on True TV. Got to figure out where True TV is for the DirecTV customers, 246. We have two teams to start it off, and Tim, this could just be god-awful basketball. St. Francis, who finished the year 16-17 and finished in a tie for fourth in the Northeast Conference. They are the Northeast Conference Tournament champions. They will be taking on Alabama State. Southern was the best SWAC team. However, Alabama State ends up winning the tournament. So we even have a first four with not even the best of just really just gross conferences in terms of the amount of talent. But our guy Tony Madlock is the head coach at Alabama State. So,
and his son TJ on the team.
And his son TJ. But more importantly, it's one of those situations where how should either of these teams be favored? And then I sit there and go, well, rather than taking points, I'll just take the team that has a minus sign because I don't trust sitting there going, like, why is there a minus sign?
You know, you don't have to bet every game.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, St. Francis is really bad. They're from the worst conference in college basketball. Central Connecticut probably would have been maybe a 15. Actually, SWAC, I guess, technically is the worst per KenPom. Yeah, this St. Francis team, kind of a cool story. Rob Krimmel, a guy who's been there forever, played at St. Francis. So there's a, you know, kind of unique aspect. But, I mean, they're 311th in KenPom. Like, they don't do almost anything well when you look at their team sheet. And I'll just say this. Duke, with or without Cooper Flagg. Oh, excuse me, it's Auburn. Yeah, it could be it could be pretty ugly. But, hey, man, we got a game. And it's technically an NCAA tournament game. So we'll see how it plays out. But they won their conference championship game 46-43.
Love it. Yeah. They also have
the scariest mascot in, I think he's Frankie the Friar.
Okay.
He's terrifying.
It's alarming.
Oh, he's terrifying.
Also a couple of other notes. This from VSiN's mega preview. Over the past 12 NCAA tournaments, underdogs in the first four are 26-1 against the spread. However, when you start to break it down of when we've started going to the 16s with the 10s and the 12s, there is some value with a 16 seed as underdogs are 14-9. But then when we flip to the 10 through 12 line, favorites are 10-6 over that time. You and I have talked about it. This is solely because I think I always set San Diego State aside. To me, like the Mountain West Conference rules don't apply to San Diego State. However, this is not a great San Diego State team, and this is just the classic. Everybody's saying that North Carolina is not going to be in here, so I might as well ride the wave. I'll lay it with the Carolina. I'm laying four.
Yeah. I'll probably sit back and watch it and see if we can get an in-game position. I might just play like under in St. Francis, Alabama State, and just hope that they've got nerves and it's just ugly from the jump. If you're looking at, so over at VSiN.com, we have betting splits. 64% of the bets are on Alabama State, and 55% of the bets on the under, but 80% of the money at DraftKings is on the under. So maybe I'll go that route. 63% of the bets on North Carolina, but it's about 50-50 split on the money. I watched San Diego State in person a week and a half ago here in town, and I came away saying I'm going to fade that team when they get into the NCAA tournament. And then, unfortunately, they've got North Carolina. But this is, I said it earlier in the show, it's like this is the classic spot that you alluded to where
And to be clear, this logic got me Virginia last year.
Yeah, no, and Virginia got smashed by Colorado State. So I would, I think ultimately I would probably be on UNC.
They do have better guard play.
Also fun to note, because everyone brought up the quad one wins.
Mm-hmm.
If UNC wins tonight, it wouldn't be a quad one.
Still quad two? Well, actually, though, that makes me feel better.
Because there ain't no in the quad
undefeated
two.
Undefeated in quad
yeah.
two.
Yeah, and they let us know. Correct. You know, forget about that loss at home to Stanford.
Not a quad one.
A quad
game.
Three loss.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that actually, we should be more geared up for Tar Heels basketball because it's a quad two game. You know what? You talk me into it. Also, I've got no family tonight, so I have full range of the television solo-wise, so that gives me full opportunity to bet this very very much so in-game.
I know you and I announced that we were going to track it this year, but I obviously didn't do it because that would have been extra work. Carolina's also had plane problems.
Yes. So did someone else did too. I think
I
Texas
felt like
A&M.
The one game we did, we thought like – someone tipped me off, hey, there's plane problems. I went and faded them, and I'll tell you exactly what it was. Syracuse was playing Stanford, and they were going across the country, and they had plane problems. Stanford jumped up by like 30-something and did not cover 10.
Oh, that's right. They fell apart.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that game.
That's the one. So there's good science for you. What are the other college games tonight? Are these NIT? What are we?
Yeah, we got some NIT. UC Riverside. Should we fade UC Riverside?
At a principal?
At a principal? They play Santa Clara.
Or, oh, God.
I don't know. You're the West Coast conference.
Santa Clara is not awful. Herb Sendek's the coach there. Like, they're well coached. What's the number?
10. 9.5.
I'm not. I'll say this out of spirit of pride for South Alabama. I won't take the points.
Does Oklahoma State give a crap? Like NIT for me is the whole thing is give a crap a meter.
It's bowl season.
So we've got Wichita State, who you know well from.
I'm not sure they give it a crap.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Like you get to go to a Big 12 school and play Oklahoma State. Like, I'm just, I got to dig into this a little bit. Like, Jacksonville State is at Georgia Tech. Does Georgia Tech care?
I see.
Playing Jacksonville State?
I never know because some of
them come out and they're ready to go.
They're ready to go and, like, hey, it's like an audition for NIL.
Yeah.
You know, we get that. All right, George, I think you can hit the music here. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. I got to go with my guy Stephen A. about the whole West Virginia governor and whatnot. It's truly embarrassing for an elected official to take the position he's taking. It's utterly ridiculous. It's childish, and you would like to think our elected officials have something better to do with their time. What is his entire constituency upset about on Monday? That's actually listening to his people.
He's actually doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Unlike everyone else, pretty much.
I mean, like, nothing. As long as, like...
What did he call the NCAA?
It was, like, the National Corrupt.
Yeah.
He changed, like, from collegiate to corruption. So I did enjoy it. It was tremendous theater. Like, and, like, that's really just kind of what all your fans wanted you to do. And if you're Ren Baker, it's like, thank you for doing it so I didn't have to do it, the AD. All right, my man. We get a taste of it tonight. We get a taste of it. I think Rothstein. Who's Rothstein? I think it's Spernarkle.
Spiritus.
Spitting the bird.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you again later this week.
All right, man. See ya.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. I want to also thank Joe Rexroad for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.